This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A massive uprising led by college students around the United States has sprung up to demand an end to Israel's genocide in Gaza and its ongoing occupation, as well as an end to U.S. arms sales and a divestment from Israel. Students have set up encampments reminiscent of Occupy Wall Street and other movements for social justice, and they've been met by violent police repression. Epicenters include Columbia University in New York, University of Southern California, University of Texas at Austin, and more. But the list of campus encampments has continued to grow, and students remain undeterred by arrests, suspensions, threats of censure, and accusations of anti-Semitism. In fact, many of the protests are dominated by Jewish students. Today, I'll be speaking with several student activists joining me from their encampments on the campuses of Bryn Mawr College and San Francisco State University. We'll begin with Jacob and Hrithik. Jacob is a journalism student. Hrithik is an economics and cinema major. Both of them are students at San Francisco State University and are organizers with Students for Gaza. And I'm speaking to them the day after their SFSU campus encampment to free Gaza was just set up. Welcome to the program, Jacob and Hrithik.
Thanks for having us.
So first, let me begin by asking the two of you where you are. I understand that San Francisco State University just began their encampment this Monday. So I imagine that it's only a couple of days, or just maybe one day since it's been happening by the time we are speaking with one another.
Yeah, so the encampment began yesterday, I think a little, like, around 1 p.m. Yesterday being Monday, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so less than 24 hours ago, we're located in the grass area across from the quad at San Francisco State. We've got, I don't know, a couple dozen tents set up here, and we just finished our first night camping out, and so far so good.
So tell me what has motivated the two of you, along with the other students, to do this. I imagine you've been watching what's been happening at Columbia University and University of Texas and many other schools.
Yeah, much like the different campuses across the nation, students everywhere, you know, are appalled at the current genocide occurring in Gaza that is being perpetrated by Israel and backed by the United States as well. And students across the nation, you know, we understand that our taxpayer money is not going towards our own education or for us to learn or understand our history more, but rather to fund this genocide and wars of aggression across the world as well, too. And, you know, much like a lot of students across the nation, we also stand with the demands for our CSU system and SFSU as well to first disclose, you know, where all of our investments are going. Knowing that the CSU system is probably invested in a lot of things that we don't know, and as well as SFSU, our auxiliary foundation, our university's corporation, we don't know where the investments are. So we want our university to disclose where it's going, especially if it's going into Israel and the current genocide that's being perpetrated by them. We want divestment as well, too, right? $175 million in all the index funds the CSU system is invested in, $175 million of those go into corporations such as Booz Allen, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, et cetera, that are all not just supporting but causing the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza as well. And the other two demands, and actually with the demand of divest, we also call on our president, Lynn Mahoney, demand the CSU system divest from all holdings as well, too, because this campus claims that it's divested here. Another thing is defending all students that have been arrested for standing in solidarity with the people of Gaza. Just today, this morning, 25 people in Humboldt were arrested, right? And we know the SFPD is being involved in those arrests as well. So we see our connected struggle as well, even across the state. So we demand that, you know, these students are defended. Also knowing that SB 1287, which is a bill that was passed by the state of California, is one that legalizes students from saying from the river to the sea, which is just a call for liberation of Palestine, right? And the last thing is also declaring that for the past 75 years, Israel has occupied illegally Palestinian land and Palestinian peoples, and has committed ethnic cleansing and genocide against them as well in their nation project backed by the United States. So we want, you know, at the end of the day, those four demands met, much like students across the nation, for us to disclose, to divest, to defend, and to declare.
Let me ask you, Jacob, you're a Jewish student, and mainstream news coverage of what's been happening in these university encampments is basically casting the students as anti-Semitic and casting this expression of protest as anti-Jewish racism. How do you respond to that? They don't really explain that many students like you are Jewish, and in some campuses, Jewish students dominate the protests.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just one of a number of Jewish students that are involved in the encampment here, and I can speak on behalf of all of us. I don't think we've ever felt that any of the actions being taken, you know, in the name of anti-Zionism and, you know, anti-colonialism are anti-Semitic. Never felt unsafe, never felt unwelcome in these spaces, you know. As long as you approach it with an open mind and approach it with, you know, the understanding that, you know, anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, and what we're fighting for here is quite literally just the end of the genocide of the Palestinians, there should be no reason that any Jewish student should feel, you know, unsafe or unable to get involved, because, you know, we're all here fighting for a collective struggle. And I think, you know, it's important for other Jewish students to be involved in, you know, movements like this, or I guess this movement specifically. But yeah, that's, I you know, never felt that any of this has ever conflated to anti-Semitism or anything.
And do you feel that these charges of anti-Semitism are really a way to kind of undermine these protests?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you know, attempts to undermine these protests and, you know, pit us against each other. We are a collective struggle, and we, you know, we're all fighting for the same thing. And the more that they try and push us against each other, the more they feel that they can break down our movement. But, you know, we're not going to let them do that. And we haven't let them do that. And I think, you know, we're just going to continue showing up and, you know, proving that nothing of what they're saying is true. And that, you know, us Jewish students, we're just as, you know, steadfast in our beliefs for liberation for Palestine.
Let me ask both of you to discuss the real threats that you do feel, rather than from student protesters. Aren't the threats for your academic careers from the universities a real threat? And isn't police violence a real threat?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think what qualifies as a real threat is obviously not the encampment itself. You know, this is been going on very peacefully, and hopefully it's also expanding as well too, because more and more students are going to the call to condemn the genocide happening in Gaza and demand for justice for the Palestinian people as well. Really, what is more dangerous is the genocide itself, right? We see that the military industrial complex in this country has become even more emboldened in this time. We see that with the current genocide, Islamophobia has risen highly, you know, to a point unseen since 9/11. And we also see that our local governments, right? And it's great that we have so many people organized to demand our local governments call for ceasefire. At the same time, and this is the time of the fiscal year, you know, wrapping up, we see that our police budgets across the country, and especially in San Francisco, are being increased. And this is the same police that is conducting the arrests right now that we see in CSU Humboldt against students that are declaring that, you know, Palestine has been illegally occupied for the last 75 years. That same SFPD now is allowed to have a shadow government, right, with Prop E that was just passed with no sort of accountability to the people. And Prop F, right, which criminalizes homeless people as well here. that's the real danger. That's the real danger. And it's really anti-people politics and policies, right, that range from the local level here that are really attacking students as well, too, who see the anti-people policies across the world, such as the current genocide. So that's the real danger to us as students, is to allow that system to continue.
I'm wondering whether you are seeing or taking inspiration from some earlier movements. I mean, what students like yourself are doing on campuses has a history, right? Has a history going back to the Black Power movements, the free speech movements, even as late as the Occupy Wall Street movements, although those weren't necessarily on college campuses, but some were. Just 4 years ago, we had the Black Lives Matter movement, of course, massive racial justice uprising. How do past movements inform your influence? You, have you felt that what you're doing now is informed by what came before?
You know, I definitely think we take inspiration. I also think we feel an obligation, you know, with so much history of, you know, social uprising on this campus dating back, you know, to the, what was it, the protests against the Vietnam War in the 60s, you know, all the way up to, yeah, like you said, the Occupy Wall Street movement. I think we feel, you know, as the current generation of San Francisco State students, we have just an obligation to stand up for the injustices happening in the world. And we're, you know, continuing on a really strong legacy. And we, you know, all on a personal level are also just like steadfast in our beliefs that the genocide in Palestine needs to end and the occupation in Palestine needs to end. And so that's really where our motivation comes from.
Have university officials at SFSU responded so far to your encampment? I know it's very new. We're speaking just about 24 hours after it was set up. But do you feel that the university is going to crack down on you like other university administrations have done? You know, I'm thinking about Emory University and, of course, Columbia, New York University, UT Austin, where they've brought in these outside, they brought in police, they've deputized police officers to remove students. Do you feel that specifically from the administration of your university?
You know, I think one thing, of course, we do face different conditions compared to, say, Emory, Columbia, or even CSU Humboldt, right? In that our admin did make, or particularly our president, Lynn Mahoney, she made a statement yesterday, which was like, oh, you know, we're a campus of social uprising or something along those lines, and she's like, I support the students' rights to peaceful protest. Now, while we do see that, it's also, we see that as an attempt to kind of diffuse, you know, what we're fighting for as well too, because we are demanding her directly, right, to call on the CSU system to divest, and she hasn't done that yet. She didn't do that in her statement. So, you know, I think that's one tactic she's trying to do, is co-opt it, right? We need to stay vigilant against it. On the other hand, too, right, if we do increase the student movement, we do get more people mobilized out here, not just in encampments, right, but there's so many people in their classes, right, that can be rallying around activities that we're holding daily to educate people, and we get this really big, you know, then we do have a chance of crackdown. And we know that the SFPD right now is, what do you call it, cutting their teeth in the situation, right, with CSU Humboldt, where 25 students have been arrested today. So, you know, even though it seems kind of calm, we understand that the president is trying to co-opt it to one extent and not actually go along with our demands. And secondly, if this does, you know, increase, and furthermore, that's something we need to stay vigilant about, knowing how the police does crack down across this country against the student protesters too.
What about support from faculty? Have faculty expressed their solidarity, or have they attacked you? And I know on other campuses it's been a mixed bag. There have been some brave faculty who even gotten arrested alongside students. Then there have been faculty who have just attacked students too.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of really great support from the faculty. What's the group that they just formed?
Faculty for Justice in Palestine.
Yeah, so that was the Faculty for Justice in Palestine is a new chapter at SF State that formed, I believe, over this last weekend, and they're. They were out here yesterday with us, showing their solidarity and showing their support, you know, forming a ring around us. And they've been helping a lot with the logistics and, you know, getting people mobilized and really just, yeah, showing their support and showing that they're just as, you know, they believe in this struggle just as much as we do. So we're really lucky to have that faculty support. And we've continued to see it. I don't know if there's any faculty. Actually, there is some faculty here right now. And they're checking up on us. They're, you know, making sure we're okay. And they're, you know, you're showing their support.
Do you expect the encampment to grow? What are your interactions with fellow students like? You know, what is the sort of work that's being done to convince other students that this is an issue worth, you know, laying your body on the ground for, if you will?
Yeah, you know, I think we do expect it to grow because it's already overnight grown. I remember being here yesterday and I didn't see this many tents. So it is very encouraging. And, you know, I think in the upcoming days too, knowing that, you know, it might be final season, but this is also a time of incredible political crisis, right, across the world that's being felt by us. You know, just earlier this year, the CSU announced, right, 34% increase into our tuition over the next 6 years. And students are also seeing the occurring genocide at the same time where they recognize, you know, why is this money not going towards my education? Why is this money instead going to the killing of Palestinian people as well? And also, you know, the different wars of aggression right now with their bloated military budget and whatnot. So, you know, I think we see the immediate links to the higher, you know, political problem. And it's reached a point of crisis, you know, across the nation that we do expect this encampment to grow, if not just the camping tents, it's also the amount of people that can mobilize out here, right, and be in support. I think, like, you know, with that as well as, like, we have many different organizations across this campus that were able to get more organized during the tuition hikes. And, you know, those of us in those organizations and those that are even unorganized, you know, we all feel the need to reach in our classrooms and talk to people to come out here to mobilize, you know, even in greater numbers as well. So we do, you know, expect the encampments to grow immensely. And we hope, like, we can especially get our demands met, you know, with the pressure that we can exert through our powers, students and faculty and staff, et cetera, together.
Finally, I'm wondering if you see these issues as all linked, right? They may seem disparate. The Israeli genocide of Gaza may seem really not linked to tuition increases, but you just linked them, Hrithik, and the climate crisis and, the, you know, over-policing of marginalized communities and attacks on immigrants. All of these things seem like disparate issues, but there is a through line, is there not? And I'm wondering if young folks like you see these connections. You've grown up at a time where, I have to say, frankly, the rest of us have let you down. People of my generation and older have let you down. And we've left you with these multiple crises that are all connected. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely believe in, like, a collective struggle and, you know, working towards a collective liberation. There's people of so many different backgrounds and so many different, you know, they have so many different life stories out here, and we're all uniting against this one struggle right now. But, you know, as history has shown, people will come together for any struggle, and you know, any group of people who are being, you know, brutalized or marginalized against. And so I think that's just such an important thing to have this you know, community and this, you know, just collective. So I don't know if you want to speak more on that, but
yeah, you know, with our collective struggle, we go with the motto, right? An injury to one is an injury to all. All of our struggles are interconnected, right? And we see it being caused by particularly the United States at the moment as well, too, right? Be it this genocide in Palestine right now, or, you know, a lot of students here at SF State, our country of origins is not, like, you know, European countries per se, but a lot of countries that are in the global south, like in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. So we understand, you know, and we're the home of the ethnic studies as well, that we need to uphold that legacy and really, like, push concertedly together as students in that collective effort to fight for our collective liberation as well, too.
It was part of the
I want to thank reality. Both of you so much for joining me. I'm wondering if you are able to give us a brief visual tour of the tent, maybe pick up your phone and just give us a view if possible.
Yeah. Sure.
As you're doing that, let me tell our audience that I am speaking with Jacob and Rithik, two students at San Francisco State University, at an encampment that has just cropped up on Monday, part of the growing campus movement around the country calling for Free Gaza. And that there you, for our TV audience, you're able to see the extent of the tents on the beautiful SFSU campus with some Palestinian flags. And it looks like some infrastructure to feed students that's also been set up. People walking around and showing solidarity. It's fairly early-ish in the morning. I imagine some students are either still asleep or in class. It looks pretty incredible. Can you give me a sense of what sort of infrastructure has been built up as you're showing us the scene? I see tents for feeding people.
So we have our own media tent here. That's where we're, talking to media, creating content, trying to spread the word. We have this, I'll flip my camera back around again. We have a food tent set up. We were very lucky to, receive some support from an outside group on food last night. They were able to feed all of us. We've got a medical tent over here with someone on staff, 24/7 to make sure anyone who needs any additional assistance or, is going through any, medical emergency is well taken care of. We have a resource tent up here, where people can check in and, outsiders can come stop by and learn more about the movement. And actually right now, I believe we're holding, this is a teach-in about, teach-in about Palestine and the Palestinian struggle. And we have programs like that planned, through the rest of the day and through however long. But we're taking this very much day by day. As you can see, we've expanded some tents, across the sidewalk into this area of grass. But I haven't had an official count of that. But, we have a couple dozen tents out here. And actually, last night around 8 p.m., we held a vigil for many of our martyrs. And as you can see, it's still up here right now. And we just plan to continue holding events like these, as long as it takes. And we're really grateful for the campus community for showing out and for, the San Francisco community for showing out to, assist us in our movement. But ultimately we are here to, protest the genocide in Palestine, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get our demands met.
Thank you both so much for joining me and for giving us a tour of what it's been like so far. I wish you the best of luck. Stay safe.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
My guests have been Jacob, a journalism student, and Rithik, a student majoring in economics and cinema at San Francisco State University. The two of them are organizers with Students for Gaza, and I've been speaking to them from their newly set up Free Gaza encampment on the SFSU campus as part of the growing campus movement nationwide. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.